Well, Anthony Lowenstein is an Australian Jewish author, blogger and freelance journalist. He says there's likely to be a strong connection between Israel's current behaviour and their coming election.
In Israel and indeed in the US as well, that somehow beating your fist against your chest and showing how tough you are by killing Arabs actually is what gets you votes. And the sad reality is that it takes everything else off the news. So when you're involved in military actions between yourself and, say, Hamas or any other organisation, that's all that's covered and people feel the need to be patriotic and support it. The opposition or the dissent in Israel itself is minuscule. There is some voices that are opposed to it, but very, very few. And that's a sad reflection, I think, of Israeli society in the 21st century, where any kind of peace movement or a left or progressive voices, call it whatever you want, they're there, but they're incredibly small and disorganised.
Is there any chance that the election will throw up more than you realise are there? I mean, there must be many people in Israel who aren't happy about what's going on.
There are. There are certainly voices in Israel, of course, who oppose what Netanyahu stands for, both in the occupation, the increasing apartheid in the West Bank, and also continuing strikes against Gaza. Those voices clearly are there, but they're incredibly disorganised. There's not really any organised left. There are, of course, opposition parties. Other people will run against Netanyahu for prime ministership, to be sure. But again, who knows what happens the next 2 months, so I can't look into a crystal ball. But certainly, at the moment, you'd say Netanyahu is likely to win. And he's also just reached a coalition with Avigdor Lieberman, who is a far-right leader of a political party who lives in an Israeli settlement illegally in the West Bank. So they have a coalition now, and I think if anyone wants to look at actually the face of what is now mainstream Israel, that is the sad face, and it's an ugly, racist face. And of course, like any country, there is dissent, to be sure, but there's growing pressure to crush that dissent. I said I was just there a few months ago and was hearing countless stories from activists and individuals, Israeli Jews I'm talking about, who are increasingly under political pressure and other sort of pressure from the state to curtail their activity, which is ironic in a way because the voices of dissent are so small anyway, not about to challenge the power of the state, but I think that shows where Israel is tragically going.
Now, Israel is very well armed and backed by the US. How far are they prepared to let this escalate?
What I think many of us worry about is that 4 years ago, roughly, just after Obama won the presidency in the US, there was a Operation Tough Lab, which was in Israel, bombed and attacked Gaza, killing 1,500 Palestinians, the vast majority of whom were civilians, and it stopped just before Obama won, was inaugurated on January 20th, 2009. So the timing is roughly the same. Obviously, I don't know where this is going to go, but I think there are a few other factors very, very quickly. One, Egypt is a key role here. Egypt 4 years ago was run by a dictatorship. It is now run by a quasi-democratic government. Its role in this is important because one of the Gaza is bordered by Israel and Egypt. So the Muslim Brotherhood, in theory, at least, should be far more sympathetic to Hamas and the Palestinians than Mubarak ever was. The regional picture, of course, is also relevant. Syria is currently in play and the situation there is catastrophic. But I think if you ask how far is Israel prepared to go, my guess is, and this is the great irony of all, Israel doesn't actually want to control Gaza anymore. In other words, controlling a territory means you have to look after the people. And there are 1.6 million Gazans, and Israel has no desire to do so. So in fact, ironically, they actually want to keep Hamas in power, but they want to clearly punish and pulverise Hamas in such a way that it won't actually ever respond. And as I said, we shouldn't forget that, bottom line, the Palestinians in both the West Bank and Gaza are incredibly restrained when you realise, and most of the press doesn't report this, that on a weekly basis there are Palestinian civilians being killed by either F-16 warplanes in Gaza or Israeli forces in the West Bank. So, again, this doesn't justify killing Israeli civilians at all. Fundamentally, are opposed to that. But again, when it comes to restraining the situation, it's a cold peace that exists at the moment there. And without any kind of negotiation, which doesn't exist at all at the moment on the table, the situation will continue as it is, tragically.